Chapter 11. The Death of Adrin. "I think he should be beaten again," said Larian, moving her fingers in the complex motions of maiden hand talk. "He is like a child, and when a child touches something dangerous, the child is beaten. If a child hurts himself because he was not taught properly to stay away from knives, then the shame is upon his parents." "The previous beating did not seem to do any good," Suriel replied. "He accepted it like a man, not a child, but did not change his actions." "Then we must try again," Larian replied. Avienda dropped her rock into the pile by the watchpost, then turned around. She did not acknowledge the maidens who watched the way into the camp, and they did not acknowledge her. Speaking to her while she was being punished would only heighten her shame, and her spear sisters would not do that. She also didn't indicate that she understood their conversation. While nobody expected a former handmaiden to forget hand talk, it was best to be unobtrusive. The hand talk belonged to the maidens. Avienda selected a large stone from the second pile, then began to walk back into camp. If the maidens continued their conversation, she could not tell, as she could no longer see their hands. But their discussion lingered with her. They were angered that Rand Althor had gone to meet with the general, Rodal Iteralda, without guards. It was not the first time he had acted so foolishly, and yet he seemed unwilling, or unable, to learn the proper way. Each time he put himself in danger without protection, he insulted the maidens as surely as if he had slapped each one in the face. Avienda probably had some small toe toward her spear sisters. Teaching Rand Althor of Aiel ways had been her task, and she had quite obviously failed. Unfortunately, she had a much greater toe toward the wise ones, even if she still didn't know the reason. Her lesser duty to her spear sisters would have to wait for an appropriate time. Her arms ached from carrying rocks. They were smooth and heavy. She had been required to dig them out of the river beside the manor house. Only her time spent with Elaine, when she had been forced to bathe in water, had given her the strength to walk into that river. In that she had not shamed herself. And at least this river was a small one. Wetlanders might inaccurately call it a stream. A stream was a tiny mountain runoff in which you could dip your hands or fill a water skin. Anything too large to step across was definitely a river. The day was overcast, as usual, and the camp was subdued. Men who had bustled just days before, when the Aiel had arrived, were more lethargic now. The camp wasn't by any means unkempt. Davram Bashir was too careful a commander to allow that, wetlander though he was. However, the men did move more slowly. She had heard some of them complain that the dark sky was dampening their moods. How strange wetlanders were. What did the weather have to do with one's mood? She could understand being displeased that no raids were approaching, or that a hunt had gone poorly. But because there were clouds in the sky? Was shade so poorly appreciated here? She shook her head, continuing on her way. She had chosen stones which would strain her muscles. To do otherwise would have been to make light of her punishment, and she wouldn't do that, although each step pained her honor. She had to cross through the entire camp in full sight, doing work that was useless. She would rather have been naked before them all outside of the sweat tent. She would rather have run 1,000 laps or been beaten so hard that she couldn't walk. She reached the side of the manor house and deposited her stone with a hidden sigh of relief. Two wetlander soldiers from Bashir's army stood guarding the door into the manor, a counterpart to the two maidens at the other end of Avienda's trek. As she stooped and picked up a large stone from a second pile by the wall, she overheard them speaking.
"Burn me, but it's hot," one of the men complained.
"Hot,"
the other one replied, glancing at the overcast sky. "You're jesting."
The first guard waved his hand at himself, puffing out and sweating.
"How can you not feel that? You must have a fever or something."
The first guard shook his head.
"I just don't like the heat, that's all."
Avienda picked up her rock and began to walk back across the green. After some contemplation, she had determined that being a wetlander required one common attribute, a fondness for complaining. During her first months in the wetlands, she had considered this shameful. Did that guard not care that he was losing face in front of his fellow by exposing his weakness? They were all like that, even Elaine. If you listened to her talk about the aches, sicknesses, and frustrations of her pregnancy, you would almost think she was approaching death. However, if complaining was something that Elaine did, then Avienda refused to accept it as a sign of weakness. Her first sister would not act in such a shameful way. Therefore, there had to be some hidden honor in it. Perhaps the wetlanders exposed their weaknesses to their companions as a means of offering friendship and trust. If your friends knew of your weaknesses, it would give them an advantage should you dance the spears with them. Or, perhaps, the complaining was a wetlander way of showing humility, much as the Gaishain showed honor by being subservient. She had asked Elaine about her theories and had received only a fond laugh in return. Was it some aspect of wetlander society that she was forbidden to discuss with outsiders then? Had Elaine laughed because Avienda had figured out something she was not meant to? Either way, it was certainly a way to show honor, and that satisfied Avienda. If only her own problems with the wise ones were as simple. It was expected that the wetlanders would act in erratic, unnatural ways, but what was she to do when wise ones behaved so strangely? She was growing frustrated, not with the wise ones, but with herself. She was strong and brave. Not as brave as some others, of course. She could only wish to be as bold as Elaine. Still, Avienda could think of only a few problems which she hadn't been able to solve with the application of spears, the one power, or her wits. Yet she had failed utterly at deciphering her current predicament. She reached the other side of the camp and deposited her stone, then brushed off her hands. The maiden stood motionless and contemplative. Avienda moved to the other pile and picked up an oblong rock with a jagged edge. It was 3 handspans wide, and the smooth surface threatened to slip in her fingers. She had to shift it several times before getting a good purchase. She headed back across the trampled winter thatch, past Saldaean tents, toward the manor house. Elaine would say that Avienda hadn't thought the problem through. Elaine was calm and thoughtful when other people were tense. Avienda sometimes grew frustrated with how much her first sister liked to talk before committing to action. I need to be more like her. I need to remember that I'm not a maiden of the spear any longer. I can't charge in with weapon held high. She needed to approach problems as Elaine did. That was the only way she was going to get her honor back, and only then could claim Randall Thor and make him hers as much as he was Elaine's or Min's. She could feel him through the bond. He was in his room, but was not sleeping. He pushed himself hard and slept too little. The stone slipped in her fingers and she nearly stumbled as she rebalanced her weight, hefting it in tired arms. Some of Bashir's soldiers walked past, bemused expressions on their faces, and Avienda felt herself blush. Although they might not know that she was being punished, she was shamed before them. How would Elaine reason out this situation? The wise ones were angry at Avienda for not learning quickly enough, and yet they didn't teach her. They just asked those questions. Questions about what she thought of their situation, questions about Randall Thor, or about the way Ruark had handled meeting with the Kara Karn. Avienda couldn't help feeling that the questions were tests. Was she answering incorrectly? If so, why didn't they instruct her in the proper responses? The wise ones didn't think she was soft. What was left? What would Elaine say? Avienda wished for her spears back so that she could stab something, attack, test herself against another, work out her anger. No, she thought forcefully. I am going to learn to do this as a wise one. I will find honor again. She reached the manor and dropped her rock. She wiped her brow. Ignoring heat and cold, as Elaine had taught her, didn't keep her from sweating when she worked her body this hard.
"Adrin?" one Dorgard asked his companion. "Light, you don't look well, truly."
Avienda glanced toward the doorway into the manor. The guard who had been complaining about the heat was sagging against the doorway, hand on his forehead. He really didn't look well. Avienda embraced Saidar. She wasn't the best at healing, but perhaps she could... The man reached up suddenly, scratching at the skin of his temples. His eyes rolled up in his head, and his fingers tore gashes in his flesh. Only, instead of blood, the wounds spat out a black, charcoal-like substance. Avienda could feel the intense heat, even from a distance. The other guard gaped in horror as his friend ripped lines of black fire down the sides of his head. A blackish tar oozed out, boiling and hissing. The man's clothing burst into flames, and his flesh shriveled from the heat. He didn't utter a sound. Avienda shrugged off her shock, immediately weaving air in a simple pattern to pull the unaffected guard to safety. His friend was now just a pulsing mound of black tar which in places sprouted blackened bones. There was no skull. The heat was so strong that Avienda had to back away, pulling the guard with her.
We're being attacked, the man whispered. Channelers!
No, Avienda said. This is something far more evil. Run for help. He seemed too shocked to move, but she shoved him into motion and he began to move. The tar itself didn't seem to be spreading, which was a blessing, but it had already ignited the door frame of the manor. It could have the entire building in flames before anyone inside was aware of the danger. Avienda wove air and water, intending to extinguish the flame. However, her weaves frazzled and wavered when they got near the fire. They didn't unweave, but this fire somehow resisted them. She took another step back from the awesome burning intensity. Her brow prickled with sweat, and she had to raise her arm to shade her face from the heat. She could barely make out the black char at the center as it began to glow with the deep red and white of extremely hot coals. Soon, only hints of the black remained. The fire spread across the front wall of the building. Avienda heard screams from inside. Avienda shook herself, then growled and wove earth and air, pulling chunks of the ground up around her. She hurled these at the fire, seeking to smother it. Her weave could not draw the heat out, but that did not stop her from using weaves to cast items into the fire. Chunks of grass-covered earth sizzled and hissed, wan blades flashing to ash before the incredible heat. Avienda continued to work, sweating from both the exertion and the temperature. In the distance, she heard people, perhaps the guard among them, calling for buckets. Buckets? Of course. In the Threefold Land, water was far too valuable to use in fighting fires. Dirt or sand was used, but here they would use water. Avienda took several steps backward, searching out the curling river that ran beside the manor. She could just barely make out its surface, reflecting the dancing reds and oranges of the flames. Already the entire front of the manor was aflame. She felt channeling from inside. Aes Sedai or wise ones. Hopefully they would escape out of the back of the building. The fire had engulfed the inner hallway, and the rooms off of it had no doors out. Avienda wove a massive column of air and water, pulling a spout of crystalline liquid from the river and drawing it toward her. The column of water undulated in the air like the creature on Rand's banner, a glassy, serpentine dragon that slammed against the flames. Steam hissed outward in an explosion, washing over her. The heat was powerful and the wave of steam scalded her skin, but she did not back down. She pulled more water, hurling a thick column of it at the darkened mound, which she could only just make out through the steam. That heat was so intense. Avienda stumbled backward a few steps, gritting her teeth, continuing to work. Then there was a sudden explosion as another column of water burst from the river and slammed into the fire. This, along with her own, diverted nearly the entire flow of the river. Avienda blinked. The other column was being directed by Weaves she could not see, but she did notice a figure standing in a window up on the second floor, hand forward, face concentrating intensely. Naif, one of Rand's Ashaman. It was said he was particularly strong with air. The fires had retreated, only the tarry mound remained, radiating a powerful heat. The wall near it and the entryway inside had become a gaping, blackened hole. Avienda continued to pull water and dump it on the charred black mass, though she was beginning to feel extremely tired. Handling so much water required her to channel almost to her capacity. Soon the water stopped hissing. Avienda slacked her flow, then let it dribble to a stop. The ground around her was a wet, blackened disarray that smelled heavily of soggy ash. Bits of wood and char floated in the muddy water, and the holes where she had ripped up earth were filled, making pools. She walked forward hesitantly, inspecting the lump that was the remains of the unfortunate soldier. It was glassy and black, like obsidian, and it sparkled wetly. She picked up a length of singed wood, broken from the wall by the force of her water column, and poked at the mass. It was hard and firm.
"Burn you!" a voice bellowed.
Avienda looked up. Randall Thor strode through the broken hole that now formed the front of the mansion. He stared at the sky, shaking his fist.
"I am the one you want! You will have your war soon enough!"
"Rand," Avienda said hesitantly. Soldiers were milling about the green, looking concerned, as if expecting a battle. Bewildered servants peeked out of rooms inside the manor. The entire episode with the flames had taken less than 5 minutes.
"I will stop you!"
Rand roared, causing calls of fright from both servants and soldiers.
"Do you hear me? I am coming for you! Don't waste your power! You will need it against me!"
"Rand!" Avienda called. He froze, then looked down at her, dazed. She met his eyes, and she could feel his anger, almost as she'd felt the intense flames just a short time before. He turned and stalked away, walking back into the building and up the blackened wooden steps.
"Light!" an anxious voice called. "Does this sort of thing happen often when he is near?"
Avienda turned to see a young man in an unfamiliar uniform standing and watching. He was lanky, with light brown hair and coppery skin. She didn't remember his name, but she was fairly certain he was one of the officers Rand had brought back after meeting with Rodal Iteralda. She turned back to the mess, listening to soldiers call orders in the distance. Bashir had arrived and was taking command, telling men to watch the perimeter, though he was likely just giving them something to do. This was not the beginning of an attack. It was just another of the Dark One's touches on the world, like meat spoiling, beetles and rats appearing from nothing, and men dropping dead of strange diseases. "Yes," Avienda said in response to the man's question. "It happens often. More often around the Karakarn than in other places, at least. You have had similar events among your own men?"
"I have heard stories," he said. "Only I dismissed them."
"Not all stories are exaggerations," she said, looking at the blackened remains of the soldier. "The Dark One's prison is weak."
"Bloody ashes," the young man said, turning away.
"What have you gotten us into, Rodal?"
The man shook his head and stalked off. Bashir's officers began calling orders, organizing the men to clean up. Would Rand move out of the manor now? When pockets of evil appeared, people often wanted to leave. And yet, through her bond with Rand, she felt no urgency. In fact, it seemed that he had gone back to rest. That man's moods were becoming as erratic as Elaine's during her pregnancy. Avienda shook her head and started gathering burned chunks of wood to help clean. As she worked, several Aes Sedai came out of the building and began inspecting the damage. The entire front of the manor was scored with black marks, and the hole where the entryway had been was at least 15 feet across.
One of the women, Maurice, eyed Avienda appreciatively.
A shame, she said.
Avienda straightened up, lifting a piece of charred wood, her clothing still soaked. With those clouds covering the sun, it would be long before she was dry.
A shame? She asked.
About the manor? The portly Lord Talayan, owner of the place, moaned to himself as he sat on a stool inside the entryway, wiping his brow and shaking his head.
No, Maurice said. A shame about you, child. Your skill with weaves, it is impressive. If we had you in the White Tower, you'd have been an Aes Sedai by now. Your weaving, it has some roughness to it, but you'd learn to fix that quickly if taught by sisters.
There was an audible sniff, and Avienda spun. Milane stood behind her. The golden-haired wise one had her arms folded beneath her breasts, and her stomach was starting to bulge with child. Her face was not amused. How had Avienda let the woman walk up behind her without hearing? She was letting her fatigue make her careless. Milane and Maurice stared at each other for a long moment. Then the tall Aes Sedai spun in a flurry of green skirts and moved off to speak with the servants who had been trapped by the flames, asking if any of them needed healing. Milane watched her go, then shook her head.
Insufferable woman, she muttered. To think how we once regarded them.
Wise one? Avienda asked.
I'm stronger than most Aes Sedai, Avienda, and you're far stronger than I am. You have a control and understanding of weaves that puts most of us to shame. Others have to struggle to learn what comes naturally to you. Roughness to your weaves, she says. I doubt any of the Aes Sedai, save perhaps Cadswain Sedai, could have managed what you did with that column of water. Moving water that far required you to use the river's own flow and pressure.
Is that what I did? Avienda asked, blinking. Milane eyed her, then snorted again softly to herself.
Yes, that is what you did.
You have such great talent, child. Avienda swelled with praise. From wise ones, it was rare, but always sincere.
But you refuse to learn, Milane continued. There isn't much time.
Here, I have another question for you. What do you think of Randall Thor's plan to kidnap these Damani merchant chiefs? Avienda blinked again, so tired it was hard to think. It defied reason that the Damani used merchants as leaders in the first place. How could a merchant lead people? Did not merchants have to focus on their wares? It was ridiculous. Would the wetlanders ever stop shocking her with their strange ways? And why was Milane asking her about this now of all times?
His plan seems a good one, wise one, Avienda said. Yet the spears do not like being used for kidnapping. I think the Karakarn should have spoken in terms of offering protection, forced protection for the merchants. The chiefs would have responded better to being told they were protecting rather than kidnapping.
They would be doing the very same thing, no matter what you call it.
But what you call a thing is important, Avienda said. It is not dishonest if both definitions are true. Milane's eyes twinkled, and Avienda caught a hint of a smile on her lips.
What else do you think of the meeting?
Randall Thor still seems to think that the Karakarn can make demands like a wetlander king. This is my shame. I failed to explain the right way.
Milane waved a hand. You have no shame there. We all know how bullheaded the Karakarn is. The wise ones have tried as well, and none have been able to train him correctly.
So, that wasn't the reason for her dishonor before the wise ones.
What was it, then?
Avienda ground her teeth in frustration, then forced herself to continue. Regardless, he needs to be reminded, again and again. Ruark is a wise and patient man, but not all clan chiefs are so. I know that some of the others wonder if their decision to follow Randall Thor was an error.
True, Milane said. But look at what happened to the Shido.
I did not say they were right, wise one, Avienda said.
A group of soldiers were hesitantly trying to pry up the glassy black mound. It appeared to have fused to the ground. Avienda lowered her voice. "They are wrong to question the Kara Karn, but they are speaking to one another. Randall Thor needs to realize that they will not accept offense after offense from him without end. They may not turn against him like the Shido, but I would not put it past Timelin, for instance, to simply return to the Threefold Land and leave the Kara Karn to his arrogance." Milane nodded. "Do not worry. We are aware of this possibility." That meant Wise Ones had been sent to soothe Timelin, who was chief of the Miagoma Aiel. It would not be the first time. Did Randall Thor know how hard the Wise Ones worked behind his back to maintain Aiel loyalty? Probably not. He saw them all as one homogeneous group, sworn to him to be used. That was one of Rand's great weaknesses. He could not see that Aiel, like other people, did not like being used as tools. The clans were far less tightly knit than he believed. Blood feuds had been put aside for him. Couldn't he understand how incredible that was? Couldn't he see how tenuous that alliance continued to be? But not only was he a wetlander by birth, he was not a wise one. Few Aiel themselves saw the work the Wise Ones did in a dozen different areas. How simple life had seemed when she had been a maiden. It would have dazzled her to know how much went on beyond her sight. Milane stared blindly at the broken building. "A remnant of a remnant," she said as if to herself. "And if he leaves us burned and broken like those boards, what will become of the Aiel then? Do we limp back to the Threefold Land and continue as we did before? Many will not want to leave. These lands offer too much." Avienda blinked at the weight of those words. She had rarely given thought to what would happen after the Kara Karn was finished with them. She was centered on the now, upon regaining her honor and being there to protect Randall Thor at the last battle. But a wise one could not just think of the now or the tomorrow. She had to think of the years ahead and the times that would be brought upon the winds. A remnant of a remnant. He had broken the Aiel as a people. What would become of them? Milane glanced back at Avienda, her face softening. "Go to the tents, child, and rest. You look like a Sharadan that has crawled on his belly across 3 days of sand." Avienda looked down at her arms, seeing the flakes of ash from the burnings. Her clothing was soaked and stained, and she suspected that her face was just as filthy. Her arms ached from carrying the stones all day. Once she acknowledged the fatigue, it seemed to crash upon her like a windstorm. She gritted her teeth and forced herself to remain upright. She would not shame herself by collapsing. But she did turn to leave, as instructed. "Oh, and Avienda," Milane called. "We will discuss your punishment tomorrow." She turned in shock. "For not finishing with the stones," Milane said, surveying the wreckage again. "And for not learning quickly enough. Go." Avienda sighed. Another round of questions, and another undeserved punishment. There was a correlation of some sort. But what? She was too exhausted to think about it for now. All she wanted was her bed, and she found herself treacherously recalling the soft, luxurious mattresses back in the palace of Camelin. She forced those thoughts out of her mind. Sleep that soundly, muffled in pillows and down comforters, and you'd be too relaxed to wake if someone tried to kill you in the night. How had she let Elaine convince her to sleep in one of those soft, feathered death traps? Another thought occurred to her as she pushed that one away. A treacherous one. A thought of Randall Thor, resting in his room. She could go to him. No, not until she had her honor back. She would not go to him as a beggar. She would go to him as a woman of honor, assuming that she could ever figure out what she was doing wrong. She shook her head and trotted toward the Aiel camp at the side of the green.